League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So at this point, Steve definitely has a terrible sunburn. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just out here fun in the sun on Coney Island, dude.
It's sand in my shorts.
Ooh, that ain't sand.
Oh, no!
Coney Island sand, man, which means there's bits of hot dogs in it.
It's just ground Nathan's meat.
By the time this airs, we've definitely had our annual dumb idiots eating hot dogs contest.
Yeah.
Can we just agree that that's stupid?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It's also gross, but yes, also stupid.
The only thing.
Enjoy your hot dogs, America.
Exactly. Yeah. One dog at a time, right?
Chew it.
Here's the other sad thing about that stuff, too. There's like the big one, the Nathan's Coney Island one that's like on ESPN and all that stuff. But here in New York, you can get a second one that's broadcast on, like, local New York TV. They do it in a park in Brooklyn for Krif Dog. Have you ever seen the Krif Dog Challenge?
No,
it's the same day. It takes place, like, hours apart.
And are they wrapped in bacon?
No.
Krif Dog does, like, crazy dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're not eating, like, an actual Krif Dog. It's just, like, hot dogs provided by Krif Dog.
You know what's weird, though? Like, here's the thing. This guy has a couple of hundred hot dogs in a day, and he's a fucking hero, right?
Yep, yep.
I have four hot dogs at a barbecue, and people are like, that guy's disgusting.
Well, because you're moderate. You have to go. You got to be radical. You
got
to never have them or have 500 of them.
I understand that two is the appropriate number of hot dogs you're allowed to have in a day, right?
Not what's really?
I thought it was at least three.
Well, welcome back to Hot Dog Radicals. We're talking dogs and buns.
Oh,
I
man.
Can put five away without a problem.
Yeah.
Without issue. Absolutely. So this week on We Hate Movies Summer Rerun.
Speaking of hot dogs.
Yeah, we're talking about Judge Dredd. We're talking about listening to an episode where we talked about Judge Dredd.
Right, sure.
This was a while ago. This was this is like before the Carl Urban movie came out.
Yeah, this is from before the earth cooled.
I think at the time this episode came out, global warming wasn't as big of a deal as it is now.
No, it wasn't a problem at all. Everything was fine. I knew nothing about Judge Dredd when we did this episode, and now I've read a bunch of the comics.
Yeah, this episode turned you into a huge fan.
It did. Those four locos changed something in my brain chemistry that night.
Oh, God.
And you know something you guys never brought up in the episode I got to bring up? You know how Metallica was like, oh, we're never doing soundtrack movies, and then they did one for Mission Fucking Impossible 2?
What does that have to do with Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd, The Cure, didn't want to do any soundtrack songs, and then they did one, an original song for Judge Dredd.
What? What song?
It's like Never. I think it's called Never.
Oh, mercy me.
Music inspired by and for the...
Yeah, and it was the song on the top of the soundtrack when you bought it. And then the rest of it was, as we've talked about before, orchestral bullshit.
Oh, man. Yeah, those soundtracks... soundtracks in quotation marks. What a rip.
Or there might have been some like junky XL shit. I don't know.
I got burned by the Mrs. Doubtfire soundtrack the same way.
Yeah.
Papa's got a brand new bag and then a bunch of orchestral nonsense. So enjoy Judge Dredd. I mean, it's just like everything. The action, the amount of bullets it takes to kill a person, or not to kill a person, but the amount of bullets these judges feel is necessary to take a human life, which is in the dozens.
But the problem is, I mean, it's just kind of walking this weird line. Like, I don't mind like ridiculous over-the-top action movies where you're you know, blasting 60 bullets into somebody and their head explodes. But it's just a lot of bullets being fired without the consequences.
Right. It's sort of like there's they didn't have squibs on everything. It's like people are just getting, like, shot 60 times at once and it cuts away before. I would imagine when they cut away, if you stayed with the body, it would have, like, just shattered.
Yeah, it would just be like a shroud of a person left.
like a shadow of, like, a nuclear blast or something.
Yeah, if you're shooting somebody that many times, it's, like, stained on the wall, like in Watchmen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Watchmen.
So this movie, for folks who don't remember what was going on, I wouldn't say post-apocalyptic. It's a bit dystopian.
It's kind of post-apocalyptic. Well, sort of.
It's basically like society got right to the brink of apocalypse. They're like, hold on, let's think about this. And then they just kind of bounced back a bit.
Yeah, they never recycled for a long time. And then
they're like, hey.
That is what happened, right? Like, garbage built up.
Yeah.
And population got out of control.
Yeah, and then I guess they just turned the Midwest into a landfill. And
which you called, would do, I feel.
Called the Cursed Earth. That's like, they show a map at some point in this movie, and the Midwest is just like the Cursed Earth. That's what they call it.
Well, you've got, the map is Mega City 1, which is where the whole movie takes place.
New York City.
Yeah, right on New York City. There's a big Cursed Earth, and in the middle of that, there's Aspen.
Yeah.
And below that is Texas City. And then right to all the way to the right, all the way to the left there, you've got your Los Angeles, which is Mega City 2.
Right. And Aspen is like the prison colony.
That's right.
City. Because it's cold there, so like they treat that as like your fucking like Hoth like tundra prison or something.
Or like the Klingon prison planet on Star Trek VI.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, that's, I guess, even when the world ends, like, you have to break up your society into, like, regional shitholes and, like, metropolises and whatnot, you know.
Do you think there's still skiing going on in the Aspen penal colony?
Yeah, but it's, like, slave skiing. Like, that's how, like, the prisoners get their fucking, like, exercise. You get, like, 20 minutes of skiing a day.
And you just, after the third day, you really don't want to be skiing anymore, but you always have to be skiing.
If I had to ski every day as, like, my, like, regimented exercise, like, that would truly be prison for me.
Well, you're getting snow in that underwear no matter what happens.
Well, that's just, like, I mean, me personally, I have fucking zero interest in the sport of skiing or snowboarding or any of that nonsense.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think if you have to do it every day, you're going to fall out of love with it.
even the person.
Say you go to prison and you're like, wow, Aspen, wow, I actually love to ski, so this is going to be nice. And then after a while, you know, you're getting whipped with chains down a mountain.
Yeah.
Kind of not into it.
You think people go to prison now and like, man, I love those like tri-cornered lunch trays. Like, I love the idea of all my food being broken up and then just like by day 50, he fucking snaps.
You know, I like my cobbler really separated from everything else.
So one person who doesn't fall out of love with what he has to do every day is Judge Dredd. So the way the new system is set up is like they've abolished all lawyers. You know, they took a cue from Back to the Future 2. And, you know, and it's all wrapped up into this nice, like, they are like judge, jury, executioner, these people, these cops, basically.
It's a fascist police state.
Right.
And just taking a cue from other movies, this movie begins with a fucking Star Wars crawl of text.
Yeah.
Read by James Earl Jones, big kawinky dink.
In the third millennium, the world changed. Climate, nations, all were in upheaval. The Earth transformed into a poisonous, scorched desert known as the Cursed Earth. Millions of people crowded into a few megacities where roving bands of street savages created violence the justice system could not control. Law as we know it collapsed. From the decay rose a new order, a society ruled by a new elite force, a force with the power to dispense both justice and punishment. They were the police, jury, and executioner all in one. They were the judges.
And, you know, here's the thing. It's like, you know, I really like, you know, the Star Wars movies and everything, but those beginnings are always the thing where I'm like, just get to it. Just scroll through. Just get to it.
You know, I'm fine with the crawls in Star Wars, but, like, this is just – it's just stupid.
Well, I think there's a difference between the Star Wars crawl and – well, the biggest difference, I should say, is that – the Star Wars crawls aren't narrated. Yes. You can read it if you want to. If not, just close your eyes and listen to the music.
At least they're cinematic to look at. They're yellow. They've got a weird perspective.
Yeah.
What always struck me about that is, like, it's just these words float. Like, the way they present the words floating, they're, like, floating into the cosmos.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like into a vanishing point.
Yeah. Do you think, like, someone came across that down the line, like some alien. Like, what the hell's all these words doing out
are
here?
Are you saying that in Star Wars they have, like, word comets that just travel throughout the cosmos forever?
And then you use the Force to take that alphabet soup of comets and make your little story.
Some alien flies by and is just like, is that the beginning of a story?
Oh, shit.
Dude, and then that one looks like it's picking up where something left off.
Well, I must have missed everything that happened in the middle.
Episode 4, where are we?
Yeah, God, took a wrong turn.
But with these credits, though, the Judge Dredd credits, you've got someone reading them, so you're forced to just listen to everything James Earl Jones is saying. But it's kind of a cock tease in the movie because it's the first thing you see, and it's scrolling just like credits. And yeah. Immediately I'm just thinking, oh, man, when are we going to see the end credits now? I just want to get through this.
And it's just – it seems like it's twice as long as anything else because it's just like – and everyone was dead for a while, but then they decided to abolish the legal system, and they had to do that through many meetings of many councils.
It's really droning and like,
Yeah, exactly.
I want to take a nap.
And you'd think maybe James Earl Jones is going to come up as a character in the movie. Yeah. You're just getting hired to read this, and then that's it?
But, I mean, the thing is, obviously, this movie probably... I mean, this movie could have afforded James Earl Jones.
Yeah, of course.
So why not have him be one of the judges? The all-white judge panel, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should have definitely been, like, one of the chief justices up there with Max von Sydow.
It's Max von Sydow, Jürgen Prochnow, and three nobodies.
Yeah, one kind of looks like Captain Janeway from Star Trek Voyager, but I think that's only because she's like a strong, powerful, older woman.
Yeah, but you have to add like 20, 30 years on her.
She's definitely older than Kate Mulgrew.
Yes.
I know that woman's name.
So the idea of this movie is there's no judges. It's taken from a British comic book from something called 2000 AD, which is where a lot of early comic writers writers and artists who have emigrated to the United States kind of started there. It's like big anthology sci-fi.
I got a question about that. Does anyone know if Judge Dredd, you know, since it was a British comic, did that always take place in America, or is that an invention of this film?
I think it's always been like, I think it's Britain. I'm not actually sure.
But I mean, Jesus Christ, like we were talking about this before, it's fucking Constantine syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically it's Judge Dredd syndrome that Constantine had because it came out after.
But Constantine came down with the wicked symptoms of the Judge Dredd syndrome.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean... that's just one of those things that, again, it makes no fucking sense. Like, grab some English actors and just make this movie.
Yeah, the American audiences will follow. Like, they're not going to – I mean, like, nobody went in droves to this movie anyway. So, right. Like, you might as well have some authenticity going.
So, essentially, it's kind of like a man on the run to kind of clear his name story. It's a very basic premise. I feel like there was probably other more interesting Judge Dredd story arcs that happen in the comics, but this is the one we got stuck with for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, 15 to 20 years of stories, and you kind of just do this really bland, like, who am I? Oh my gosh, you know, like, framed garbage.
Coming to the realization that he may, in fact, not be the law.
You're right. He does actually
believe.
It's
very conflicted.
He actually does believe he is the law in this movie, and he will say it. And, like, people are, like, kind of, like, okay with it at the beginning. They think it's cute. Like, this guy just walking around saying, I am the law! And I was like, oh, that's Judge Dredd.
He's, like, the guy at your job that's just, like, takes it all way too seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like a total asshole about
it. I am accounting!
Oh, all right, Pete. God, not going to touch your numbers.
Can we talk about the first like instance of judging in this movie?
Well, yeah,
the first like action sequence we set upon is just like it's fucking total chaos because that's the future.
Yeah,
like all fucking dystopian futures, it's just going to be like constant law breaking chaos, yeah. And this is no different. And we've got this gang kind of led by James Remar.
Yeah, he's like the leader of the gang.
I'd say that.
Somebody dialed 1-900 scumbag, like he said.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. They got the fucking Remar hotline open and he got signed up. And you know what? Too short of a movie lifespan for my taste. Mm. You put James Remar on screen like that, I'm expecting at least getting midway through the movie, honestly.
Yeah, like just he's the scummy character that kind of makes it around and, you know, fucks shit up.
Yeah, but this is just, you know, Diane Lane, who's playing Judge Hershey, is like trying to, with her like rookie partner, trying to, you know, calm the situation. And of course she can't because that's how we have to get introduced to Judge Dredd.
Right.
And he just, it's a lot of just him going into situations, making like these empty threats of like, you know, back down now or else. But you just know he's going to kill them anyway.
My favorite part of that scene was, he, like, before Judge Dredd arrives on the scene, James Remar and his buddies are murdering people on the street level. Like, they're a few floors up shooting down at people. Judge Dredd shows up and he's like, they're like 300 yards away. They can't hit us. Whatever.
Judge Dredd, take cover! They're firing 20mm caseless Fletcher round at 300 meters. The effective legal range is 200 meters. You're safe.
It just flip-flop logic, like, whatever, that makes sense now.
But no, Sylvester Stallone gives this, like, ridiculous, like, scientific explanation of, like, they're, like, such-and-such caliber rounds, and their striking velocity is this much, and they can only kill at this distance, so we're safe. And it's just this bullshit, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I didn't account for his, like, Lego armor.
Yeah,
provided by Armando. What was it? Versace?
Johnny Versace designed the costumes in this movie. Let's get into the costumes.
I almost said that they were provided by Armando Sante.
Armando Sante, who's in this movie, just had them at his house. Oh, you want some? You want some Judge Dredd costumes? I got Judge Dredd costumes. I'll tell you about Judge Dredd costumes. I own them.
Is that close to what he actually sounds like? Do you feel?
Are you questioning my impression?
Or are you talking about him in general? In
I just mean Armando Sante in general. Oh, like, no, what is his actual voice?
I think closest to Steve's impression. Yeah. I think that's what it sounds like.
Well, because we said he's either playing this or like shitty wannabe mobsters. So yeah. It's like, it's hard to gauge.
It is hard to gauge.
But yet, designed by Johnny Versace, by the way. Here's one way to not make your futuristic police costumes threatening in any capacity. Have a big, flaunty fashion designer make them for your movie.
No, and I mean, everything is just so plastic in this movie. Like, it's just so, it's all shiny and bubbly. And it's supposed to, it just seems like it should be more gritty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Versace thought he was designing something for, like, an Italian nightclub. Like a bouncer at an Italian nightclub.
I do feel like when Stallone saw that, he was just like, man, this is going to look great in Planet Hollywood. I'm looking at you, Tampa.
God, he's
come down to the Tampa Bay Planet. Yeah, I can't do Stallone.
This will draw people to the Tampa location, which has been struggling.
What is the speaking of Planet Hollywood struggling? Like, what is their deal? Are they bankrupt still?
I think they got bought by some Native Americans recently.
Oh, did they? Really?
I think I read that. Yeah, I think they got.
Can you gamble it at Planet Hollywood now?
You eat, hey, Steve. You eat at Planet Hollywood. It's a gamble.
You just win.
I think that's how they got into the business, yeah.
You throw money and you get fucking movie merchandise back.
They had, I went to the Planet Hollywood in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina quite frequently because we vacationed there every year. And like when you're a kid, it's like the coolest thing ever to go see movie paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And we went there and they had the frozen naked Sylvester Stallone from Demolition Man just hanging in the lobby of the bar.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's like you walked in this family restaurant and there's just male butt cheeks just there. Like the butt cheeks were out. Yeah.
You watch Judge Dredd and there's male butt cheeks that are out everywhere.
Yeah, again with these costumes is like
the bot, like the top is all these like gaudy winged, because they're like they're supposed to be like the Eagles of Justice, it's kind of a bullshit thing.
So top heavy.
Yeah, it's like, very top heavy.
Yeah, it's like the shoulder pads of justice. Or well, I mean,
the character's
truth.
Kind of designed as this kind of like pastiche of like what was going on in like comics and like movies, like this big like oh like he's like this kind of big dumb. Just like, you know, what do you call it there? Like kind of blank slate guy that can only kill and whatever. And it's an intimidating design. Yeah, but
a police officer.
But yeah, he's just got some buns in this movie. Like the buns are quite prevalent.
The buns are all over the place. And it's like, because it's just this black spandex. And it's not just the men. Like Diane Lane's ass is all over this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, speaking of like the male and female judges of this movie, of course it's futuristic and of course it's sci-fi. So that means co-ed locker room.
Yeah, you can just check it off. If you're at home with your scorecard, you can check off James Remar and co-ed locker rooms.
Man, they're just in every like sci-fi movie. Like, what was it? Starship Troopers, RoboCop movies.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense because it's just, you're going to lead to just, you know, uncomfortable situations.
It's a progressive society, Stephen.
But how is it that like in the future, males and females aren't neurotic and paranoid about showing off their genitalia to the opposite sex?
They're just above it all. It's about duty in the judge's precincts.
So after we're, you know, introduced to how this fucking system works, we're also kind of at the same time introduced to the unnecessary comic relief in this movie.
Rob Schneider.
You can't even say it.
He's just a big turd in this movie. Like, as always, he's a big fucking turd in this movie.
It is painful. It's painful. He is... Every line out of his mouth is just like you're questioning its existence in the screenplay. You're trying to figure out, like, how it got this far that a character was cast. Like, why didn't they just cut it out? He doesn't help. There's one instance in the entire movie where he kind of like saves Judge Dredd's neck, but yeah, even then, like, he would have fucking figured it out. He's Judge Dredd.
But you need your yucks, you know.
You do need your yucks, and it was always the thing where, like, if you ever have a character that doesn't fit into the movie really, but he's like comic relief. Well, I guess he's a hacker or something. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? It's just sort of like the funny hacker, because there's no other way to put fucking comic relief. Like, why would he be part of this team? Well, he's good with computers.
Mm-hmm.
Why would schlubby 3'4" Rob Schneider be like
3'4"
be helping out Celestial? Well, he's good with computers.
But I mean, and I used this movie as an example because it's the first one that came to mind when we were watching this. But like, you know, think about like the first Die Hard movie. And Bruce Willis is just going through that movie. And you know where the jokes are coming from? Fucking John McClane. Like, if you need levity in your action screenplay, you know, Stallone can deliver those lines. Like, they're not going to be great, but it's not going to be any better than Rob Schneider delivering them.
No. Well, I mean, the problem is the fucking lines are all awful. I do give Rob Schneider credit. This is a fucking rotten script.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, it's all just the cheesiest fucking, like, you know, hackneyed quips back and forth. And even Stallone starts getting in on him. Because I'm sure, like, Stallone being an ego freak like he was, he looked at him like, why is he getting all the laughs? I need some jokes. I want people rolling to my lines, please.
I can be funny. Didn't you ever see that movie where I got the black cap in it that looks like my cap from Rocky, but it's not. What is that movie that he was in?
I have no idea.
Rocky 2. No.
It's like him around the holidays.
You know, I'm just buying a Christmas tree.
Oscar. That's what it is.
Oscars is not about the holidays or wearing a cap.
I thought he had a black hat in that movie.
No, he's like a gangster in the 1920s.
I thought that movie was when he adopted a baby or something. I have no idea about his filmography.
I for no reason, have seen Oscar like 4 or 5 times. It was just on a tape in my house.
Really?
And I was just getting through it. Yeah, it's just like an open door farce kind of a thing. There's a baby involved. Marissa Tomei is in there.
At least I got the baby right. Now, is the baby named Oscar or is he named Oscar?
He's named Oscar.
So it's not Ghostbusters 2.
No.
Mega City Municipal Code 213. Willful destruction of property. That's 2 years. Code 310. Illegal possession of assault weapons. 5 years. Code 457. Resisting arrest. 20 years. And code 3613, the first degree murder, the street judge. Let me guess. Life. Death.
I know we've talked about the costumes a lot, but there's just one more thing that I need to bring up because, like, it's a Versace thing again. Can we just real quick touch on the cod piece in this movie?
It's out of control.
It's glorious.
It's the biggest cod piece I've ever seen.
Because he's the biggest judge you've ever seen.
Do you think there's a poster somewhere where it's just the cod piece is the biggest judge you've ever seen?
The magnum cod piece.
It is the magnum cod piece. And again, I guarantee you, they showed fucking Stallone 5 cod pieces, and he flipped the table over and said,
bigger!
Yeah, exactly.
Go bigger.
Twice the size. Which, at what point, though, is it so big that you can't even, like, walk comfortably? No, he's not. It's like, why would your, whatever you're using to protect your genitalia, look like you're constantly hard the entire time? Like, what's the benefit?
Because he was those co-ed locker rooms.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense.
He kept on but seeing
that's
Hershey.
What's weird, too, is like, so Judge Dredd's wearing this, like, fetish cod piece, right? Uh-huh. Why doesn't Diane Lane or any of the female judges wear this cod piece?
Like, well, because a cod piece is like your shit can fit in there, like a baseball cup.
Because they have, men have penises and women have vaginas.
But I'm saying, you know, it's to protect the genitalia, so why wouldn't you protect your, you know?
Because the shit's not sticking out. Well, are we really sitting here explaining this to you?
Also, it's there to like, I don't know how to say this, to emphasize the manhood.
Well, I think that's more.
That's what you're getting at.
Well, that's why King Arthur had the shit.
Did he really?
Really?
Yeah. Was he a noted codpiece wearer?
All those knights had codpieces. I think that was like a qualification to be in the Knights of the Round Table.
Now, Merlin was so confident he didn't need one, right?
Well, he had
I don't think so.
He had that.
Or he had that robe.
The flowing robe, which makes it really easy to jerk off at any time.
Do you think that's what he was doing at the round table?
He's all natural into that thing.
Look, we have to stop inviting Merlin to the round table meetings. He doesn't put anything forth on the table, and he's constantly doodling with himself.
I was doing spells, I was. Under your cloak, Merlin. Really?
All right, this is terrible, but, you know, obviously, Camelot.
That's our shitty comedy sketch called Come Along. We just put that out there. It'll be a mini episode that no one will download.
A play in half an act.
So we're introduced to our hero, our sort of leading lady, and our shitty comic non-relief.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise going forward in the movie is that a criminal is released from prison, played by Armand Asante by the name of Rico. And sure, he's released I guess he's like one of the chief justices of the judge, high court or whatever, played by Jürgen Prochnow Beverly Hills Cop 2 fame.
The Keep.
Oh, yeah, The Keep. Michael Mann's The Keep. Great movie. And what was the name of it? The TV movie where he plays Arnold Schwarzenegger.
See Arnold Run.
Yes.
He played older Schwarzenegger.
Like political era Schwarzenegger.
Which is so weird because, like, the middle of the movie, they always flash back to his, like, bodybuilder days in that movie. And it's just, he's played by a humongous bodybuilder. And then at some point, somewhere, he turns into Jürgen Prochnow.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think the movie just justifies that by, like, you know, Arnold has definitely shrunk since his bodybuilder days, but it's pretty drastic to just turn from a huge beefcake into old Jürgen Prochnow, you know?
How long do you think he struggled with that career choice? Like, is this going to kill my career? Like, is it? That's a bad
Who, Arnold movie. Or this guy?
No, Jürgen Prochnow.
Oh. What, doing the See Arnold Run movie?
Yeah, like, that's just gotta
I feel like he knew he was at his end anyway.
So it's like
at his wit's end.
Yeah. To go back to Star Wars, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi turning his lightsaber off.
Yeah. You don't want movies? Just hit me. Take your best shot.
I mean, he does, a rancid Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. There's a scene in the movie where he is talking with, like, the Maria Shriver character about, like, you know, oh, I think I'm going to run for governor of California. And he's like, you know, he's announcing it to her, and she's like, oh, you know, fat chance or whatever. Like, you don't have a shot. Like, just playfully joking with him or whatever. And he has this line, and it's Jürgen Prochnow trying to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like him saying, you won't be saying that when you're dancing with me at the Onoguru Ball. He's trying to say the word inaugural, and it comes out Onoguru. So he sets Armand Asante free, and Judge Dredd is unfortunately framed for murder. Like, that's how basic this plot is. It's like a fucking framed for murder situation. Like, that's what we're going on, movie?
Well, when Armand Asante escapes from prison, he shoots the warden in the throat. Well, he's sort of released from prison, sort of escaped. Like,
it's a half and half, yeah.
It's sort of like he's allowed, like, the Chief Justice is setting it up so he can escape, and he's not, like, no one's really chasing him, but he's just allowed some free murder, free murder points.
Yeah, it's kind of like, we engineer he engineers his escape as opposed to, like, actually pardoning him. You don't want to get that paper trail coming.
Right, he has the warden give him a box that's, like, turns into a gun, no one ever checks for those.
It's a box that holds his badge, but also holds a picture that turns into a gun.
Yeah, that, you know, turns into a hang glider so he could fly away back to Mega City 1.
And then turns into a codpiece at the end of
it. Yeah, and then he puts it on his dong. And then he puts on the rest of his little getup. And then he walks in and shoots, what was this guy's name? Vargas Hammond?
Yeah, Vargas Hammond or
good
something.
Good old Vargas Hammond or whatever.
He's played by the dude who's like the colonel in the First Blood movies.
Are you thinking of Charles Napier?
Yeah, no, he's not that
guy. I thought that was Charles Napier.
No. Some other guy. He kind of looks... He was a lot like a Richard Mulligan from Empty Nest.
Oh, yeah, totally. Who I always also confuse with the dad from Punky Brewster.
They're all three different actors.
Who's Eric Lessard in the Police Academy movies?
There you go.
How many casting couches do you think the three of them were waiting on for the fucking casting lady to be like, they're like, they come out and he calls one name and they all stand up? Yes.
We need nondescript older white man.
Yeah,
we're now reading for the part of nondescript older white man.
We're going with Mulligan. Oh, Punky. Yeah, so this guy's like...
Mahoney. My goldfish Mahoney.
Is that a fourth guy, or is that one of the guys we just mentioned? No, he's also...
Punky's also Police Academy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Lessard is Mr. Brewster, or whatever that doctor's name was. Can I just point out real quick, Eric's drinking a Four Loko, and I don't know how he's still alive.
Wait, was this on the record?
I feel like it's...
I feel like this is private life being broadcast as... Well, you know... I needed something to keep me awake, and it's terrible. I had one before, and I knew it was a bad idea, but I don't know. It's what the kids like, right?
I'm trying to
get involved with youth culture again. I'm going to get a ponytail.
Is that why you're wearing blue sunglasses?
Yes.
No, you're not wearing blue sunglasses.
To get your finger back on the pulse.
Yes.
So this dude who's not Lessard, but looks like Lessard, kind of... It's just like this liberal muckraker who's like down in the streets, like reporting about how fucking terrible it is in Mega City.
Well, it doesn't make
sense. He's kind of right.
No, he's totally right, but it kind of doesn't make any sense because, like, even his wife is like, dude, we live in a fascist state. What are you trying to, you know what I mean?
Like, true.
What are you trying to accomplish here?
Yeah. I don't know what the end game is, but also just like, yeah, one, we live in a fascist state, so don't go talking shit.
Don't poke your head out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
When the brown shirts are marching down the street.
I mean, you know, get a radio show. Like, he's out there on the street with a camera being like, this is me, this is my name, and fuck you, the government.
Yeah.
I followed up some grumblings confirming a suspicion of mine. Cancer of oppression goes far deeper than the street judges.
And you're going to say that over the air?
It's the truth.
Oh, Vardis, you're insane.
I'm a reporter.
They're never going to let this get onto the air, Vardis. Something like this could bring down the council.
Maybe it should.
What is he shedding light on that isn't just glaringly obvious from looking out your bedroom window? Like, this city fucking sucks. There is, like, murder and fucking rioting every ding-dong day. And this guy's out here like, don't be fooled by the judge system. It's horrible here.
Yeah, like, this guy's like, I'm Eric Lessard with The Obvious now. It's kind of not nice outside.
Yeah, but the thing of it is like, yeah, you're living in a world where block wars exist. Block wars, I guess, are wars between blocks of streets where everyone's fucking shooting each other up. And everyone's got, like, automatic weapons somehow.
Imagine if that existed. I got to walk, like, 10 blocks home. Yeah, exactly. I'd be murdered.
Yeah, you don't be in the wrong block in block war, man. Yeah. They say block wars quite a bit in this movie. If that's, like... Block wars are like the turning point of it all. Like, now, you know, things were bad before, but now there's block wars, block wars, block wars.
And I don't know. I said this when we were watching the movie, but like, if this is such a fascist police state and they're obviously trying to quell block wars, why do they have the Second Amendment still? Like, why are you giving these people guns? And we're in the year 3000. So at this point, every single gun has like a rocket launcher, laser, and like you press it once, it shoots 60 bullets at a time. It's insane. You can't.
That's the only way we can stay free from the English, Eric. That's the true. Only way.
You know what? This is what they tell the people, like, what do you mean you don't have, what do you mean this fascist and this police state and this, you freedom. You have the biggest gun you want.
Very good. And if you can kill our super judges, you know, you're free to go.
Kudos.
And also, so along with this, this whole like frame job or whatever, he gets like a trial, which the whole fucking system here does not make any sense because the rest of the society is like judge, jury, executioner by these judges that walk around with their huge guns and fucking uphold some semblance of law or whatever. But if a judge is accused of breaking the law, like he gets this fucking huge hearing.
He gets due process. He's the only one.
Which, I mean, hello, rioting in the street. I mean, why is that the case?
It makes no, I mean, it's only to further the story along to like, obviously he's going to be found guilty and whatever.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, for an action movie, like I'm going in, I'm ready for Judge Dredd. I guess, you know, I don't know. I'm begrudgingly ready for Judge Dredd. And I get in there and all of a sudden, like everything stops for this like 25 minute legal drama. Yeah. Where Diane Lane's just representing him, and she's trying to, like, they're talking about, like, video evidence and all this shit.
There's DNA evidence, which I think was probably spurred upon by the O.J. Simpson trial. That's where they, 1995, yes. Come on, you know, people, it was fresh in everybody's minds.
That's true, this movie was trying to say something, you're exactly right. God. But the one friend that Judge Dredd has in all of the high council or whatever, all the grand poobahs, is played by Max von Sydow.
Yeah, the grand council of esoteric Germanic people. That's the good German or Norwegian or Swedish, actually.
Yeah. Max von Sydow celebrating his 109th birthday on the set of this movie, probably. I mean, my God, the guy worked with fucking Ingmar Bergman, and here you are, however many decades later, being like, so there's judges, and what's happened? Oh, forget it. I'll just say my lines.
Well, you want to talk about somebody. Yeah, he worked with Ingmar Bergman. This was like the head. If you want to talk about, like, imagine a straight line, this would be the middle, and Priest would be the end of the line. 2010's Priest.
Was he in that?
He was in that. In almost the same role. Like, he's more evil in Priest.
Well, then it's kind of more like his Minority Report character.
Yeah.
And he was also in Shutter Island in 2010.
Right? Yeah, it's all a big graph that goes up and down. But Priest is, like, almost the same movie. It's a European comic book where everybody's wearing flowing robes and everyone's very good at violence.
These European comic books, man.
Yeah, exactly. And again, police officers were replaced by people that aren't police officers but act exactly like police officers. In one, it's priests, and in the other one, it's judges.
That's the fucking premise for that, is like priests uphold the law.
Oh,
in that
there's
movie?
Vampires and all sorts of wackiness.
So they can like get away with fucking kids? Well, I guess they do now.
Yeah, they get away with that now.
Yeah, sorry.
So Judge Dredd is found guilty, but Von Sydow decides to like enact this rule that I guess happens. And to preface this, I guess they kind of have a Logan's Run thing in this society. Right. It's not age 25 or whatever it is in that movie. What is it, 23?
I think it's 25, but it's something like that. But in this movie, it's just whenever you think you're ready for retiring, well, Florida is now part of Cursed Earth. So
yeah, it's like
you go to Florida.
Cursed Earth, Florida. It's lovely this time of year.
And essentially, what that is like they give you a fucking a book of laws, a gun, and a good luck pat on the back. And open the doors to this city, and then you just walk out into a desert.
Exile. Yeah. It's what is that book fucking worth a damn out there? That's like, I imagine they give it to you for like kindling or something.
That's the first thing. It's fucking toilet paper, man. That's the only thing I would use it for. I mean, it's...
I'm sorry. I just feel like if you're going down to the cursed earth, you need everything you can get. So I think your toilet paper is going to be your left hand and the sand.
Well, I think it's more of a thing that like in this movie... organized religion has been abolished,
yeah,
and it's like the book of laws, like the Bible. So it's like,
oh, right,
pray to your laws in the desert or something. Well,
you're supposed to like preach law and give law to the lawless, which doesn't make any fucking sense because all I can tell of Cursed Earth is it's hillbillies and cannibals.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish out there then in this desert. Like, it makes no fucking sense.
Well, it's only for, to clarify, it's not for everybody. It's only for judges. So you fucking, you know, you it's this weird caste system. You give your, you know, yeah, you're a judge, so you have all these special rights. But at the end of it, you go out, you have the worst death imaginable.
Thanks for your years of service. Now burn in the sun and be eaten by another human being. Good job. So Von Sydow, at the end of the trial, Judge Dredd is found guilty of his fucking crimes. He killed this liberal muckraker and his wife. And so he's being sentenced to death.
In the charge of premeditated murder, this tribunal finds Joseph Dredd guilty as charged.
Joseph Dredd, you're aware the law allows only one punishment for your crime. Death.
And Von Sydow stands up and he's like, as we all know, the final wishes of a retiring judge have to be honored. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, the godfather can't resist a request on the day of his daughter's wedding or some fucking horseshit, yep, right? And so he stands up and he's like,
it has long been our custom to carry out the last order of a retiring senior judge. And so... I stepped down.
As you know, I just saw a comet and wished upon it. Yeah, my wishes must be granted. I get three wishes for catching this leprechaun under a rainbow.
And not to mention, I have this lamp I haven't told anyone about. Let me just give it an old shine here.
Alakazam, do your worst.
But yeah, so his request is not like, pardon this man, whatever. He just says, put him in prison and just don't go that hard on him. It's your final wish. It can't be turned down. He's like your pupil and whatever. Mm. Like, you love him like a son, which they get into later in the movie. So it's like, set him free. But he's still going to go to this horrible Aspen jail colony.
Isn't death better than being eaten by cannibals and cursed earth, and also going down your slopes, your Aspen ski slopes of chain whips? Well, we're kind of making up the chain whip Aspen slope ski thing.
Yeah, we don't.
I feel like it's there.
We don't see any skiing in this movie. But the weird part about this movie is it's not just he's not just trying to save Judge Dredd. He's also trying to like clear his name because there was this shady thing called.
wait for it, the Janus Project.
Could you say that one more time?
The Janus Project.
Now, saying that two times, you've said that 1/64th of the amount of times they say the Janus Project in this fucking movie.
So, it's which was this, which is spoiler alert, everybody. Take your headphones off. You don't want to the fucking twisted Judge Dredd ruin and then fucking kill yourself. But it's this idea, the Janus Project is a cloning thing that was designed to make the perfect judge. And they made two judges. One was Judge Dredd and the other was Armand Asante's Judge Rico, who had the genetic abnormality of becoming the world's best criminal.
Yeah, they actually say that.
That's a quote.
Which is like, they're like, okay, so we had this experiment. You were fine. But Rico, there was a mutation. And the mutation was, it was the exact opposite of what we wanted to do.
It's total evil twin syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's definitely an evil twin.
By the way, you're fucking cursed when you name it the Janus Project that you're going to get a fucking evil side to something.
That's
read
absolutely
your Roman
true.
Mythology, folks.
Right, yeah. Well, let's call, pick a name.
Call it the Massive Success Project. Call it the Success with No Strings Attached Initiative.
Just call it the Two Good Guys.
The Buddy Project. Yeah.
The Nice Cop Program.
So then it just goes into this fucking bullshit. Like, you know, that part of the movie sort of splits in half. And it's like Armand Asante is trying to like become the kingpin of fucking Mega City.
Backed by Jürgen Prochnow now.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of like started this like puppet regime kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think it's like an attempt at a coup of the government.
Right, yeah, totally. Meanwhile, Judge Dredd is sent on an airplane because he's getting like shipped off to this fucking prison colony in Aspen where it's like the fates align and Rob Schneider's like back in his life after Judge Dredd has sentenced him to another 5 years in prison or whatever.
For just being at the scene of a crime?
Essentially.
Honestly, if I was a judge in Mega City, Rob Schneider's character is like mere fucking presence. I'd be like, I judge the death sentence. And just fucking murder him.
This is why no one gives you a badge.
Yeah.
You're
I would
terrible.
Throw my power around willy-nilly.
Yeah, you'd use that plastic badge for evil, that's for sure.
Yeah, you'd be a real Rico.
But yeah, it's got to be very easy for someone in that position to just fucking off somebody without any real consequences.
Oh, yeah. There's just kind of like back alley killing left and right, I feel.
Because, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, he had a gun, I guess. Like, I'm a judge. Get out
of
my face.
Yeah. No, it's a dirty fucking system.
Damn right.
So Judge Dredd's like on this plane, and then all of a sudden we kind of just get like an action scene from Con Air. Because they're shot out of the sky by these, like, cannibalistic hillbillies.
Not enough Leonard Skinner for my taste in that scene.
Yeah, the soundtrack to this movie is 100% Skinner-free, and I'm not too happy about it.
I would love the Con Air soundtrack to this movie.
And that's right, and Steve Buscemi doesn't play a likable child rapist in this movie.
Oh, God.
See, look at all the things this movie's missing, honestly. So these hillbillies are like, oh, it's a sign from God we're going to eat tonight. I've never seen, like, excited cannibals, by the way. Like, that's a bizarre thing. These are, like, jovial cannibals. Yeah. Like, at the sight of a meal, they're like, oh, thank the good Lord, we can eat flesh.
But you know what I hate about that is, like, I was, like, feeling for them. I'm like, oh, yeah, they probably haven't had a good meal in a while.
Yeah.
And then, like, they finally get Judge Dredd and Fergie, which is the name of Rob Schneider, into their, like, cave dwelling. And they got a bun in the oven already. There's a dude in there with, like, garlic cloves on his face and shit. And it's like, I thought these guys were going hungry. Like,
yeah, it's just a big roasting body on a spit, which is just weird.
It's like they started cooking dinner, and it was like, oh, look, more dinner's coming. Like,
yeah, they're just some greedy-ass cannibals.
Now, I understand you would want to wrangle in all the food you can get at that point, but, like, don't act like you're starving, buddy.
Also, if we're going to go for cannibalistic food preparation, this is a fucking lazy fucking job. Because you don't just get a chicken and shove it in the oven.
No.
You cut the head off because you don't want to eat the beak. You cut off the chicken feet. You fucking gut it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just am I to expect they're gonna fucking eat the fingernails on this guy and the asshole?
Wait, yeah, yeah.
Like just
the lower intestines. Yeah, and
just
stuff?
Get a good cut of meat out of him. And
well, I guess the thing that we're supposed to take away from this is like, not only are they like crazy like religious fanatics, they're cannibals. But they're also, like, inbred. So, like, the inbred part of it is maybe they're just like, well, just we eat whatever. It don't matter none.
Well, I think the problem...
I'm having a hare sandwich tonight.
What I think is a little ridiculous is that they would even want to immediately cook them or kill them. Like you're going to eat what you got cooking, right? And then after... You want to save some of this for a while, so you should eat them in stages. I feel like I would want some good free-range type of meat. So maybe take Judge Dredd or Fergie out for a walk in a few days.
Yeah.
You know?
just get grass. A grass.
Yeah. You know, like, just take your time, you know?
Well, the problem is Judge Dredd has steroids. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, true. That's tainted meat.
Yeah,
all
you
want to
take
place.
A bite into the human growth form. What was that crap that he had?
HGH, yeah. Human growth hormone? Yeah.
The legendary angel family. Cursed Earth pirates. Murderers, scavengers, and of course, scumbags.
Oh, that'll win them over.
So, I mean, this scene of them just captured in this, like, hillbilly church or whatever just kind of goes on.
Yeah, the one guy is not Peter Boyle. A little cameo from Ewan Bremner as the son there, Junior.
Who's Ewan Bremner?
Ewan Bremner is Spud from Trainspotting, and just
Okay.
Hey, British. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a stumble down the stairs ever since for him. I mean, he's been in like some things. He's been in all the Guy Ritchie stuff, or at least some of it.
Yeah, he pops up here and there, and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, all right. Well, you could have been better. You could have had it more. But like, do you think in this movie he was like on set and he's just like, hello, I was a big fan of these comics growing up, and what in the bloody fuck are you doing to this title? Like,
that's what the director was saying, too. The director, I read this guy, Danny Cannon, it was also British, and he, like, before he got the job, when he was a teenager, he made, like, a poster to a Judge Dredd movie and sent it into 2000 AD and like they printed it or whatever. Like he was like a fanboy and he got this job and then like he just kept clashing with Stallone because Stallone wanted all these changes.
Which is just like, who are you going to believe here, Sylvester Stallone? Like you, who has no idea what this is. Like, don't sit there and tell me you're a Judge Dredd fan.
I read that he had no idea what Judge Dredd was until he was offered the part.
So here's this dude who's like, I'm so excited to be a part of this project. Yeah. Like, I love this comic. Like, this is my fucking bag. And he's like,
well, I don't know. I mean, I got Versace on the line and he wants to make the shoulder blade. So what the fuck are you going to do about it, Limey?
And it's just, yeah, it's Sylvester Stallone taking a shit on the glass table that is the Judge Dredd comic, right? And then, like, all the English fans are underneath the glass table being like, he's ruining this. He's ruining this whole glass table comic franchise.
He's having a poo on our franchise!
So, eventually, wow. Stallone, you know, of course he's going to kill off all these hillbillies. And then Max von Sydow bursts down the door... If only to continue this scene further.
Yeah.
And he's just there for two seconds of Stallone being like,
whoa, what, you're alive in this hellhole?
And then a huge fucking pirate sword comes through his chest.
That's from...
the fucking Midnight Express is coming through.
A Spectre locomotive from our spooktacular has invaded this podcast.
It's the fucking Midnight Meat Train.
Nobody knows that this... This podcast is recorded in the Old West.
A bunch of varmints.
The Acela just came through on its way to Boston, everybody. But anyway.
We skipped over my favorite part, which is Cyber Hillbilly for no reason.
He's a Borg Billy.
He's a Borg Billy.
He's like the Judge Dredd version of Griff Tannen.
Yes.
Like, and it's just a weird thing where the dad's like,
you know, it's hard for a little kid to grow up out here in the wasteland or whatever, so he's got all these implants.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard for him to grow up out there in the wasteland, but apparently it's easy for him to rebuild his spinal cord with metal machinery and, like, a metal arm and, like, a metal head that does, like, mind control.
Yeah, it's hard for a kid out here, but it's real easy for a human cybernetics.
Yeah.
I'm just tinkering in the back shed for a little bit, and I made myself a new son out of my ruined son. And that's just what you do. We're handy people.
But I don't know how to feed my chillin'.
It is a complicated setup that guy's got going on all over his body.
Yeah, but I love, like, because obviously he's just there because it looks cool or whatever, or it supposedly looks cool.
Well, because it's the future, so you have to fucking have something that looks...
Because you can't just have a heavy go up against Stallone. You need, like, a heavy plus machinery.
Right, exactly. He's got to be, like, uber bionic.
Yeah.
So, like, when Stallone inevitably topples him, it's going to be that much more impressive.
Right, or it's going to be that much closer of a call. Because if it's just some dude, like, well, clearly Judge Dredd's going to win.
Yeah, exactly. He's taken out, like, 47 dudes at the beginning of this movie.
And the problem with this is, I mean, this is kind of the shift of the movie for Judge Dredd's character, and I really hate to say these words, but there's this sort of, like, dramatic shift where he kind of he's hanging out with Rob Schneider, so he starts getting in on the action, on the jokes. Like, he finds a personality. Like, the beginning of the movie, he's just like, I'm the law and I'll kill people. And, like, he'll have, like, some puns, but they're very, like, subdued. But then at this part, he's like, hey, batter up, you know, like, really shitty fucking.
Well, that's because Rob Schneider's character has an infectious personality. That's what you'd call that. The fucking disease of this guy who seeps into the pores of your skin. And then you start acting like Rob Schneider. Because that's what it is. Like, Stallone just starts corning it up all over the place.
You know, it becomes a lot like Demolition Man in terms of Stallone just joking around, and Rob Schneider's also there to talk about Three Seashells here.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there.
I forgot Schneider's also a Demolition.
Yeah.
There, it's like the fucking Abbott and Costello of shitty sci-fi action movies. Yeah.
And he also kind of has a priest collar in that movie, too.
Sci-fi action cop movies.
Yeah, no.
It's so specific.
It is so specific.
Like, the only thing Judge Dredd doesn't have is, like, time travel-ish capability, like, you know, cryogenic freezing and whatnot. Essentially, it's kind of just the same movie in a way.
Here's the question. Which is better?
Demolition Man.
Yeah, Demolition Man is better. Yeah, I just wanted to air that out because I'm sure, you know, maybe somebody cared.
But no, I mean, because the thing, too, is you kind of have a trade-up on, like, the comedian who's in your movie, too, because Demolition Man's rocking Dennis Leary there for a little while King of the Rats or whatever his fucking character is in that movie.
Also interesting about that is, like, how Demolition Man is, like, it becomes a pussy hippie society, and in this one it becomes, like, the fascist right-wing society.
Yeah, totally.
And clearly you're going to have more fun in the hippie society.
Oh, yeah, I would love to live in the Demolition Man future. I mean, like, yeah, you're easily toppled over, but, you know.
It's totally awesome, man. And also, like, they have that great line in that movie about, like, Taco Bell is the only thing that survived the fast food wars, which I always just pictured, like, the fucking Burger King just putting a dagger in Grimace's heart.
Although if you did say fuck, you'd be fined 50 credits for the verbal morality code.
That's the big one. This podcast, we'd be hung.
fucking traitors.
There'd be gallows outside the Taco Bell.
Future gallows?
Yeah, like a little laser beam gallows.
All right, We Hate Movies cast. You get your last meal at the Taco Bell, and then it's off to the taco gallows for you.
That's, you know, it's on them when I empty my bowels as I'm hung.
Yeah, maybe that's not such a good
idea. Load me up with Taco Bell. I win.
Citizen Sisko, you sure you want 16 bean burritos?
Just you wait.
I want this to happen so bad. Like, I know it means you're sentenced to death, but you would show them a thing or two.
I would like your last words to be, welcome to the party, pal. All right.
I'll promise this to you guys and any listeners out there. If I am put on death row, my last meal, I will try to make as much Taco Bell as possible to really give it to whoever has to clean up my body. Yeah, you might be the law, but you got to shovel shit.
So Judge Dredd makes it back into Mega City. And it's just him trying to clear his name against Armand DeSante. And it, like, you find out they're brothers, you know, at some point.
Test tube baby brothers.
Yeah, clone two brothers. They're from Max von Sydow's whatever stock, right?
Is balls?
Is he? Yeah, is he donating the sperm for these clones? Is that the idea?
Did I make that up? Or?
No, I think it's sort of like, oh, you were like the sons to me, and it's like, okay. I feel like it's sort of like it's definitely possible.
It's implied, yeah. By the way, because that's the only thing that would make sense. Because for no the fuck reason, both Sylvester Stallone, an Italian, and Armand DeSante, also Italian and Irish, both have blue eyes.
Yeah, it's like robotically blue, like unnatural eyes.
Yeah, terrible contact lens.
It doesn't make sense on a fucking olive-skinned Italian. This no. doesn't make any sense.
So they kind of have it out. I mean, the thing about it is, like, once Judge Dredd gets back to Mega City, there's not a lot to take care of.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets back there.
And, the third act.
And that's what's, like, weird about it, too, is you realize what's going on. And you think, like, okay, like, now the movie's going to get going or whatever. But, like, all of that shit that happens at that cannibal Holocaust is, like, that's a gigantic portion of this movie. Like, you don't even realize, but, like, 40 minutes has gone by.
Yeah. You're well to the last part.
Like, Eric, you said something about, all right, 48 minutes. Now this is happening. I was like, 48 minutes?
Yeah. I think that's when they come to the Cannibal Ranch there. It's like 48 minutes in.
We're about an hour in by the time they finally go through the fireball Mario pit, whatever.
Yeah.
But they're taking that from the fucking Rock, man.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's some sort of exhaust pipe where flames come out, and he's like, oh, well, if you look at that, the flames pop out of there every 30 seconds. So if you run right through, you can something. And that's totally from The Rock, how, like, Sean Connery memorized, like, you know, when the flames go through and the turbines are doing this fucking thing. And, like, that's how he breaks out of the prison and whatever else.
Oh, The Rock came out in 96.
Oh my God, no.
I just double checked.
No, Michael Bay ripped off this movie in a way.
that's nobody's surprise.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, I think there is something very similar in Super Mario Brothers movie, too.
That's the production design of this movie.
Yeah, let's get into this for a second.
Looks a lot like the Mario Brothers future or alternate dimension mixed with Blade Runner. Like a lot of Blade Runner ripoff.
Yeah. This movie wants to be fucking Blade Runner, big, big, hardcore.
Do you think the director is like, I would like it to be Blade Runner? And Sloan's like, Mario Brothers. Blade Runner. Mario Brothers.
And they compromise.
Yeah. I love the Mario Brothers movie. I want to be in the sequel when it comes out because I saw it and it had a sequel at the end and I would like to play a Mario character.
You play a mushroom guy?
Oh, the fucking Goombas? Yeah, Sylvester Stallone can play a Goomba in that movie.
Wait, what are you trying to say to me? Look, all I'm saying is I'm sitting in the theaters, right? And the princess storms through the front door. And I thought, wait, I think the movie's over with. And then she says, you're not going to believe this. Jump to credits. That's where I immediately started writing my own screenplay for the sequel. I'm a writer, you know. I wrote Rocky. That won an Oscar. Hey, by the way, Mr. Danny Cannon, one word for you. Oscar winner. Yeah.
How much do you think he throws that in people's face?
Oh, every fucking chance he gets.
Like, do you think, like, on Copland, like, he was like, now listen, Bobby, everyone in this movie is just going to be fat. Because we're all just going to get a bunch of cop cuts.
And then De Niro's just like, I don't think that's really a good idea. It just sounds kind of stupid and unhealthy.
Hey, one word. Oscar winner.
the funny thing about Stallone and Copland, I remember watching the old Conan O'Brien show, and Ray Liotta like was kind of talking out of school a bit about about Stallone.
Oh, no kidding!
Because you know, I think Conan brings it up. He's like, "Oh, you know, what's this? You know, Stallone put on a lot of weight for this movie," and like Liotta's like, "Yeah, every time we went out on the town or whatever, we went out for drinks or something, anyone would come up to him, he would immediately say, like, whoa, 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 I put this way on for a movie. I put, like, he was really insecure about it, which kind of fits with my idea of what Stallone is.
Yeah.
That's probably true. At what point, by the way, because I'm just thinking of this, I got Stallone on the brain lately, because last night I watched The Expendables.
And you got Stalloned.
I did get Stalloned while I was watching it, and I'm sitting there. My whole thing about it is this, like, when did he get, like, the juice body that he's got going on right now?
Yeah.
Because he's juiced in that. He's juiced in that Rambo movie that came out a couple
Even
years ago.
Even worse, I think. That Rambo movie, man. He's like just the Cloverfield monster in Myanmar.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. He's probably juiced in Judge Dredd. Like, that's steroids.
Oh, I'm sure.
But this is HGH, which is so much worse for you. And, like, rapidly, like, fucking warps your fucking genes to where you look like what Stallone does now.
I mean, he looks like he should be on the cover of a magazine I'd never think to purchase. Like, that's
Buns.
Buns Monthly. You know, like the shitty, like, Flex magazine that horse shit. I mean, that's what his body looks like now. And he's just got this, like, pencil-thin goatee in The Expendables.
And he's 60-something.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is. And, I mean, again, it comes from the insecurity of, like, oh, my God, my body's falling apart. I better take this experimental serum. Oh, no, I'm Mr. Hyde.
He's the Red Skull.
He turns into the Red Skull.
I mean, but there's ways to handle that shit gracefully, though. And, like, The Expendables, as an example, like, look at all the older dudes in that movie. You got the fucking great Arnold cameo at the beginning of the movie. And Arnold's just kind of, like, letting himself get old. And he's, like, kind of flabby a little bit. But, like, you know, he's probably exercising here and there. But he's not fucking taking, you know, human growth hormone and whatever else is going on, you know?
Whatever fucking Nicaraguan serum that fucking Stallone found.
Yeah, no, totally. He's got to fucking charter a boat to international waters just to get his medicine.
You know, I never understood that. Why did you judge me? Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
I betrayed this. Your council's experiment, which failed in you. I was your brother, your blood, your friend. Who betrayed who? When are you going to stop being a goddamn slave and grow up? That's your birthright. That's your family. I'm your family. I'm the only family you ever had.
So, can we just talk about Armand Desante for a few minutes and the ridiculous, no Stallone puns intended here, over-the-top nature of his fucking performance and just all-around, like, behavior and look in this movie?
Everybody in this movie, everything in this movie is cranked up to 11. In the worst way possible.
Oh, yeah, it's not a good 11 by any means.
No, because it's like 10 is as far as you should go. You know when you fucking put a speaker on too loud? You're like, this is just doesn't even sound like anything anymore.
Yeah, you don't even want to listen to the song.
That's what he is. And he is the most of it. Like, he's just, he's walking around, he's talking really fast, and he's talking in this weird drawl that he never uses. But it's like this New York thing, but that doesn't make sense because
it's
New York
actually,
doesn't exist.
It's a mega city accent.
So it's a mega city regional accent.
Yes.
I think I agree with you, Eric, because it's like kind of like New York metro, but then like he kind of just, he's talking like this, he's talking really fast, and then he'll dip into a little bit of a Russian accent and then come out the other end of it with doing an Irish bit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Just slow down and think about
you
this.
You see, guys, mega city is what we call a melting pot. And it's a little like contemporary New York City, but mega.
It's a fucking melting pot that is in the process of boiling over with grime and filth and shady characters.
By the way, the best thing about this movie is Armand Desante's headquarters, his evil headquarters, is in the Statue of Liberty.
Jesus H. Yeah. I think we were watching this movie, as we always do, just kind of half-assedly. And then we found out it was in the Statue of Liberty. Because I'm sure there's a lot of dialogue explaining that somewhere. We're like, really, movie?
There is a line in the movie where they talk. It's like, something, something. That's where they put it after they moved the Statue of Liberty. Why? Did the ocean turn to acid? Like, why did you have to move the Statue of Liberty anywhere?
It's like in the middle of like a bad neighborhood now. It's
they put the Statue of Liberty in fucking Bed-Stuy.
And yet it somehow lowered its property value even more. That's just a...
Well, no, because it's you're talking about... They also talk about this movie is overpopulation. Like, oh, we have 30 million people where there should only be 10 million. And, oh, my God, that's so many. You know what we should do? Take up a city block for a fucking statue. That could... That could be a great big apartment building. What if you're mega building?
You know
building?
What? But we got to put Operation Janus somewhere.
Janus fucking
yeah, price. Janus needs a fucking huge headquarters.
And that's the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it takes a gigantic historic monument to house this clone project.
The problem with the Armand DeSante v. Sylvester Stallone in this movie is they're both like hamming it up, but like... It's just these two extremes of one is Armand DeSante is over enunciating every single one of his words and fucking goddamn Stallone is just loud. So it's like, what are you talking about? So like, loud. I don't even want to know you anymore. You're not my brother.
And so it all, it's good that we got into the headquarters of the Statue of Liberty because that's kind of where stuff comes to an end. And it's Armand DeSante's come up with this great idea. He has very much in fucking Revenge of the Sith fashion, he has all of the judges just murdered.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Judges big and small just taken the fuck out.
But that's also Jürgen Prochnow. Jürgen Prochnow thinks he's his he's the number one Asante's number two.
Is that how it's working?
Yeah. He takes right. him out like
then he assumes his position.
Yeah.
And I think the end game is to like get these clone troopers and do like a Operation Valkyrie from the movie Valkyrie and take over the government by like sending out your clone troopers to be like, hey, these are the ones you listen to now.
So he's like, I don't need this fucking judge army. I'm going to make my own clone army. And I'm going to like take over the city, which also like, why would you want to take over this city? Like, what do you have to gain?
Yeah. And everyone's established that this city is terrible.
What is left to stick? Like, what is, you know, you can't even get a good meal in this town.
And then what's going to happen, right? Listen, okay, so Mega City 1 has fallen to this new evil ruler named Rico, and I guess he has to now, he would reasonably have to go to war with Mega City 2, I would assume. And then
where does Texas City fall in?
Yes, they should just succeed from the Union, right? I feel like they've been itching for it for a while.
For thousands of years at this point.
Yes.
Can we talk? There's this weird scene which is hilarious where, you know, so Jürgen Prochnow's like, so Rico gets out and he starts killing all the judges. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, Prochnow's like, you know, you must raise chaos. So he starts raising chaos. And he goes to the council. Jürgen Prochnow goes to the council. He's like, oh my God, it's so bad out there. Like, we need to reopen the Janus Project. And they're like, oh, the Janus Project? I don't know. That sounds like a terrible idea. Okay, let's reopen the Janus Project. There's this fucking long scene where everyone says Janus Project six times in a mirror, and the Janus Project is reopened. And then the second it happens, they're like, no, this is so bad. You can't reopen the Janus Project. And then he murders everybody.
It just makes no sense, because also, like, just by opening the Janus Project, like, what does that mean? You're opening the Janus Project. Nothing happens. Yeah. They're like, okay, the project's open. But that requires, like, Joan Chen to start making all these clones again. Yeah. Like, she's this fucking top secret scientist and this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no.
But it's like, what instant effect did any of that have? It's one of those, like, we all have to turn our keys at the same time kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And the second they do it, yeah, you're right. It's all like, wait, what have we done? Well, you haven't done anything. You signed off to reopen this project, but... It's not like you launched some fucking nerve gas all over this city.
Yeah, it's not like you sent a nuke to Moscow or anything.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of made a decision to start up a research project again.
No! No. Wait. We're funding a government grant! No!
Pork belly spending's going to eat us alive!
Yeah.
So the Janus Project, unfortunately, is reopened, and he's building these clones, and they kind of start rising out from their clone cribs, but not really. They don't really get that far.
Well, yeah, Rico tries to unleash them Stallonation or whatever. Like, they're supposed to look like him, like Armand DeSante or Stallone or whatever. It's that DNA. But then they just turn out to be, like, these nasty monsters. They sort of look like one of the villains in the Beastmaster movies.
they're these mouthless white things that just don't make any fucking sense.
Which also, like, I know you're brewing these things from a petri dish and whatever, but, like, right. If you're making a human being clone, like, it's not ever, like, all white with purple veins and, like, amber eyeballs. Like, that's not going on.
No, and it doesn't make sense, like, these creatures wouldn't exist without flesh. Like, that's just, you know, they're not able to walk around. I know that they're not done yet, and we say that in the movie, but they can't just be like, oh, well, fuck it. We're just not going to not have flesh right now.
And they instantly know to, like, kill Stallone or try to. And they're, all they do is just sort of grab at things and fall over, you know. Yeah, they're a bunch of goddamn big old babies. It's a
big whiff in the fucking bad guy department.
Armand Asante really screws the pooch on this. Like, he cocks up this deal big time.
He's too busy making fucking speeches.
If he left those goddamn things in there long enough, maybe, I mean, he might not live to see it, but maybe, you know, Stallone would get his comeuppance.
Yeah, no, like, Judge Dredd might get his comeuppance, absolutely, you never know. But that, it just is it's pointing towards the bigger issue of, like, Armand Asante doesn't really have an end game. Like, no one in this movie has an end game, but, like, his end game of, like, oh, I'm going to take over Mega City. So what?
Yeah. There's no money involved, which is, I mean, like, there's no, like, money MacGuffin. Usually it's like a big briefcase full of something. You know, he doesn't have that, so it's just sort of like...
It's power.
Power, but power. It's just in the most abstract sense.
Now, Joseph Dredd, I hereby judge you to the charge of betraying your flesh. Guilty. The charge of being human when we could have been gods! Guilty. The sentence is death.
Court's adjourned.
So Armand Asante is killed. He's got a big old I'm gonna fall out of the building thing. Again, kind of just like Die Hard.
I'm gonna fall off the roof. Not the roof. I guess the face of the Statue of Liberty. It's sort of like... what's that Hitchcock flick that does that?
Saboteur.
Saboteur. Yeah, they took a page out of Saboteur's book.
What about Mario Brothers? Why are you talking about that fairy movie and not the Mario Brothers movie, which I loved?
Can we talk about the shitty decision Judge Dredd makes at the end of this movie?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because this is just, again, it's like no one wants to pick up the ball and run with it with this fucking town. So Armand Asante's defeated. The Janus Project is no more. Yep. Diane Lane blows away Joan Chen, totally fucking shoots the shit out of her.
Max von Sydow's dead. The entire justice system, essentially the entire government of Mega City,
is gone.
Yeah. Imagine fucking like the Supreme Court, Congress, the Senate, you know, all White House officials, like, you know, the FBI, the CIA, everything is just fucking gone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left.
And the line of succession falls to you as part of the judicial branch.
Yeah. Right. And so Judge Dredd walks out of the building and he's like...
No, but the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, like the base of it or however it's structured. Yeah. And he walks out
of his French broad.
And, he's like, well, that was fun. Who's for Chinese?
and someone comes up to him and they're like, oh, Judge Dredd, we realize you didn't murder those people. That's great. Hey, listen, our entire country's infrastructure is in shambles. And we have selected you as the fucking messiah of it all to rise up and lead us to greatness and this, that, and the other thing. And he's just like,
yeah, I'm just a street cop. Don't look at me.
And, like, gets on his motorcycle and drives away.
Nobody's like, oh, I got work to do. No, you don't. There's no government anymore.
Who's telling you? Like, no one's signing paychecks. Like, what are you going to do?
And what is he acting like a big man for, putting on his helmet, going, I'm going to drive away into the sunset, do my job. Like, go fucking take a nap. You just had a fucking week, man.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. That takes me back.
So, Eric, you're big. I think that, am I the only one on this show that's not a fan of that Carl Urban movie?
Are you? Oh, my God. I just want to shoot you out of a cannon right now.
I'm kind of with you.
All right, yeah, what? Good.
I think it's fine. I think it's just fine.
50-50 on We Hate Movies. Yes.
I think that movie's awesome. I don't hate it. I had a fine time watching it, but like, it's not something I ever need or want to watch again.
Well, now I hate you.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Eric.
You know, I understand that the structure of that movie is similar to this other movie.
The Raid.
Yeah. Honestly,
but Dredd's better.
I think Dredd is better than The Raid.
No, that's where wrong. I think The Raid is much better.
The Raid is like, you're at a party and some dude is like trying to be the life of the party, and he's done coke beforehand, and he's telling you this awesome story, bro, and it just won't end, and then he punched 50 guys. That's not a movie, guys. That's like a...
I think that's a movie, and I don't
think
it's all bro-y.
It's a masculine fantasy.
I feel like Dredd is kind of this weird nether space, which is not a bad place to be. Like, it's almost a fan film. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, we're taking an established property, we're assuming you know what it is, and we're just kind of putting it in a different context.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, trying to give it a story engine that sort of works. It's not literally an origin story. I appreciate all that. I just think it's kind of bullshit. I don't know why.
The story didn't really grab me, I'll be honest. Like, the action in Carl Urban is great. I will say that.
Sure.
I thought Carl Urban.
You think it should have been more grounded in, like, real drugs or something?
Yes. What, like, much more.
I don't understand.
PCP. Yeah, that's what you have to get is PCP.
But then would you have liked the movie more if it had been more relatable?
No.
By the way, slow-mo is a dumb concept. Why would anyone?
Oh, you mean the actual drug slow-mo?
As a drug. Yes. Like, oh, man. Like, here's what I want to do when I do drugs. I want to fucking go faster. Or I want, like, just not. I don't want everything. Oh, man. Like, my life is. I need to fucking take the edge off. Let me make this day 12 times longer.
You know what? I don't know. See, that's the difference. You guys are big coke guys.
Yeah.
You guys want to watch The Raid. I want to do a little slow-mo, right?
Exactly, dude.
Relax.
I also appreciate an inhaler, like, intake system for drugs. That's pretty great. I will say this, too. I saw this in the theaters, the new one.
Yeah.
The 3D with the slow-mo was awesome. It's one of the first times I was like, 3D worked to the benefit of this movie. Like, I rewatched it on Netflix, and I was like thinking about watching it in 3D, like, oh, it was actually much better in 3D. But so there's Judge Dredd, everybody. So Clue.
And a pseudo on-screen for Dredd. So there you go. A little bonus feature.
Yeah, a little. See, even though we're on vacation, we're still just working overtime.
And we're at each other's throats. Yeah.
Well, we rented that two-bedroom bungalow for the summer. So, you know, we're rooming with everybody anyway.
And we had that wrestling room built.
I'll see you in the wrestling room. All right, so Clue for next week's rerun episode.
Rob Schneider. Sweet Robbie Schneider.
Yep.
You like the juice.
Sweet Robbie Schneider is back again. So until next rerun, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Seda.
Enjoy the summer.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.